Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. This is Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and I welcome our listening audience. As once again, we share how God's working through the ministry of Neighbors of Hope, and for this morning's edition of Word Made Flesh, we're going to hear from the voices of those that are men's ministry. So good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Good.
Good.
All right. Nice and vibrant. I like to have that. Okay. Before we went on the air, we selected a scripture we would like to reflect upon this morning, and that comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 15. So if I could have someone read that for us, that would be, well, let's make that 9 through 17. I'm sorry. Chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Do I have a reader?
Right here.
All right.
Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Disciples' relation to each other. This is my commandment, that I love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, gentlemen. Maybe a pericope that's familiar with most. Maybe not so much with others, but anything jump out at you in that reading? What was your first impression?
That you accept one another for who they are, that it is not our it should not be our will to judge one another.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
It's about the relationship too, like that. I think at times we put I think Jesus on this pedestal, almost in some ways greater than his Father and God. Sometimes some people kind of put him on this pedestal that's so high, when I think he keeps, throughout the stories he tells them, and when he comes in, he keeps telling us, like, my relationship with my Father is the same relationship you have with our Father. In that sense, he's kind of telling us, like, our relationships are no different. You've got, you know, like, we're here. He's just teaching you the way. And I feel like sometimes we have to feel like we have to have a relationship with Jesus, have a relationship with our Father in some ways, where he's trying to tell us it's the same if we accept it. You know, it's the same relationship that I have. And I think he knew, or he was feeling it from his disciples in that sense, that too, that people were putting him already then on this pedestal. And I think he's trying to continuously throughout Scripture, I keep hearing the same thing over and over lately, is him trying to tell us, like, I'm not your God. I keep hearing this, and I feel like I keep hearing this in this one too. It's like, it's about your relationship with the Father, because he's in the sense that we read the part of the scripture that's before that, it's about that gardener. He's the gardener. He's the one who's trimming and pruning us, and he's giving us these tools and stuff like that. Now it's for us to feel like, how do we expand from that? How do we help other people bear their fruit? He's teaching us how to do that, and I think that's what Jesus is here for, is to help teach us the tools and resources that we need to continue to bear fruit for others, which the fruit is the love.
Yeah. Good. Good. Anybody else? Thoughts, comments, questions?
Does it somehow strike a nerve if you've ever heard before, I am the truth, the life, the way. No man shall come to the Father but by me. Quoted by Christ, of course.
Yeah, that's earlier in John's Gospel. John has all those I am statements. I like the idea about relationship. Right? Obviously, there's a relationship between a branch and a vine. Right? The vine and the fruit. You have to be connected.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know, at the heart of that, what exactly, if you think about it, if you have a branch, a vine, and a fruit, you kind of have this Trinitarian component going on, right? So what's that relationship look like, and what really is at the heart of that relationship? Well, you know, if it's a dead bush, it's going to have dead branches and dead vines and dead fruit, correct?
Correct.
And if we were to read earlier, prior to those first 8 verses, that's what Jesus is talking about. What good is a dead branch? It's not going to bear any fruit. So you have to be kind of, we oftentimes hear, be grafted into, right? Like the vine is part of the branch is part of the vine, and together they bear this fruit. This is kind of what I want this community of relationship with me and my Father to look like. You got to be part of it. You can't, you're not going to bear any strawberries. You know, the berry's just not going to grow over there off of, a blade of grass. It's got to be part of the vine and the branch, right? I mean, or apple, whatever fruit you want to use. But that's crucial when you think about that that relationship component you're talking about. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. One thing I'd like to point out, or at least ask a question about, what do you think about that that line he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. Any thoughts on that? I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind when you're reading it is that there's that Charles Barkley commercial that's on TV. I can't remember if it's Progressive Insurance, because they have some of those. To where he's out on the basketball court and the with the kids, and the kid picks him.
I
still got it, Okay, I mean, because I think sometimes we can read this and we can feel like, oh, I'm part of the elect, right? I'm special. I got picked. You know, if you've ever played up pickup games when you were kids, right? You hated being the last one picked. And it was worse if you never got picked. Okay, I'll take Palmer. Right. Sandlot stuff. What are your thoughts when you think about being chosen? I mean, and let's put it in its proper context, right? You've been invited, chosen, to accept the invitation, be part of this community. This kind of Trinitarian branch, vine, fruit, Father, Son, disciple. You've been chosen.
With my low to no self-esteem throughout most of my life, Pastor Steve, I am still presently guilty of, in the very recent past, probably in the present, that I claim that I have 2 older brothers, and I was convinced at some point that I wasn't supposed to be born a male. Yeah, let me start with that. That I was never supposed to be here, and that I say things like I'm living proof that parents can have a bastard child in wedlock.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I looked at it. I was convinced of that because
to think that you're chosen with a background like that.
Yeah, it's been hard for me to. It's been hard to convince me.
I feel guilty. Yeah, you bring up a good point. All right, sometimes we can think, well, like the little league team or the Charles Barkley, and that we're elected out of others that aren't. Right?
Uh-huh.
And oftentimes, like what you're sharing, is we can be so self-judging, but I'm not worthy. Right? If I'm the last, kid picked on the sandlot pickup ball game.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to right field. Right? Because I'm not good enough to pitch. I'm not good enough to play shortstop. And that may be true, but you were still picked.
Nevertheless,
we're the ones that prejudge our qualifications, our ability, uh-huh. our faculties, our capability, all these type of things. I'm not,
I'm just not good enough.
I've sinned too much, Lord. And we handle this in a lot of our relationships, right? Because if you really knew me, you may not even like me. And I think what Jesus is saying is, look, the Father knows me. The Father knows you. Right? I've accepted, Jesus speaking, I've accepted, right, the reality of just the pure love that comes from my Father. And I just, that's what I'm immersing myself in. You want to do that too? Come and be a part of this. Because this reality chooses participants to engage in that reality.
Uh-huh.
And it's in that reality that the, in a sense, we could say here a few weeks after Easter, that the resurrection is alive. It's a reality we live in today.
Correct, yeah.
And we're the ones that oftentimes get through what's going on between our ears. We become the major interferer with that full participation in that reality. And so the discipline really is reminding ourselves, yes, I am grafted into that resurrection reality. And it's in the presence of that resurrection reality that empowers me and frees me, right, to live in that in all of my engagements. And then we're back to the relationship.
Yeah.
Right? We make it present.
Uh-huh.
Right? Despite, right, how I may judge myself.
Yeah.
Right? How I may feel. Whatever my background is.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think another thing I'll add contextually, we do have Jesus, right? This is his last night before he's going to be executed the next day. John does not give us the Last Supper. John gives us the foot washing. And, you know, for four chapters, if you have the red letter edition, it's all like all red letters.
Uh-huh.
He goes on this pretty lengthy prayer and speech and oratory? Yeah.
okay.
Again. Checking my grammar here, right?
Okay.
My,
that's all right.
My vernacular. anyways, so he is speaking to his disciples, right? Because he did go around and go, come follow me. Now, is there anybody since that time that's walked on this earth that invitation has not been extended to? Come follow me. Right? That's what he means by I chose you. I've asked you.
Uh-huh.
I've invited you to come. Be a part of this reality.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be painful because there's going to be a lot that are going to refuse it and reject it. You may get persecuted.
Perhaps because they don't understand.
All that, but do it anyways. And what we see by the time he finishes is that Jesus carries this reality of his engraftment with the Father, right, all the way to death. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then we see with the resurrection is it's God's vindication. Right? It's God's declaration of judgment. And see, that's the way the human being ought to live. In unification with me, the Father. That's how
uh-huh.
we're supposed to live our lives. I'm with you always. All right.
Well,
any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
I think it's about this maintenance, right, too. Like, just because you accept, right? Like, we all, a lot of times we'll accept him, but we have to realize it's going to be work. There's going to be maintenance involved. Which then goes back, if we can't even have these relationships and we can't maintain them, you know, no wonder we don't see, you know, very good marriages. Lots
mm-hmm.
of divorce today. We don't see good family relationships with parents and their children. They can't even maintain, you know, they have a hard time, they can't even have a relationship with Christ and having this relationship with their Father, they can't, how are they going to have it with their families too? because they can't, they don't maintain it. They're not working hard at it. They're not giving everything they can to that relationship. They accept defeat, and or they struggle. They don't accept the help, or they, whatever it is, they have a hard time with that struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where we need to be doing the work as people that are healthy and that are in those good places, to step up and help that maintenance, help prune them, become the gardener in some
mm-hmm.
ways.
Yeah.
We need to help become the gardener for others, to lead by example, to provide them the tools. And like, you know, that's where I think I'm in my journey is helping become that gardener and helping people flourish in their own life and see the greatness that they have.
Very good, very good. Well, thanks again, gentlemen, and we would be remiss on this edition of Word Made Flesh if we did not wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Mother's Day.
Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.